from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. It's the weekend, and for those of you planning to hit the bars or living near them, I have a question. How would you feel about last call moving from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.? Under a proposal from San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener, cities could move their last call times to as late as 4 a.m. if they wanted to. It's called the Let Our Communities Adjust Late Night Act, and it has the backing of restaurant and hospitality groups, but it's also drawn the ire of an alcohol industry watchdog group. We debate the proposal introduced this week in this opening half-hour forum. And joining me now is State Senator Scott Wiener. Good morning.
Good morning.
Senator Wiener, didn't your predecessor Mark Leno try this and fail? I'm wondering what makes you think this time it will succeed.
This proposal fundamentally is about local control. Right now, California has a one-size-fits-all approach to alcohol service hours. Whether you're at the Oregon border or the Mexican border or anywhere in between, you have to stop everything at 2 a.m. And what we're saying is that local communities should be able to decide for themselves. This proposal does not require anything to stay open past 2 a.m. It allows local communities to decide whether or not they want to go past 2 a.m. And they can do it in one neighborhood, in one street, for a few venues, whatever they want. It's about local control. Senator Leno did try to pass this bill a couple of times, and it did not succeed. But with any challenging piece of legislation, it often can take multiple tries. So we're going to keep this issue alive. Nightlife matters. Live music, DJs, dancing, it matters. And we know that people are going to stay out after 2 a.m. if they want to, regardless of what the law says. So why not actually acknowledge this fact, embrace it, and have good regulations in place?
Well, how would this work? So if a community is interested in extending its hours, what would it need to do?
Sure. So if a city or a town wants to have alcohol service past 2 a.m., under this proposal, that city would need to formulate a plan for what exactly they propose to zone, how many venues, et cetera, and would have to formulate a public safety plan to make sure it's going to be safe, submit that plan to the ABC, which would then review it, and if everything's in order, they could move forward. For individual liquor licenses, even at that point, a venue that's seeking, say, a 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. permit, if the city has allowed that venue to do it, would have to get an application into the ABC through its normal alcohol permit process, showing a safety plan, showing that it's going to be done responsibly, and then that could be approved. So there are a lot of checks and balances in this proposal, and I think it can work really well.
Your legislation is being backed by, you know, the California Restaurant Association, the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. These are powerful groups. I'm wondering what your response is to concerns that you're prioritizing alcohol revenue over public safety or what's good for the public.
Well, this is not just about alcohol revenue. I mean, yes, it is true that our nighttime economy in California, in San Francisco alone, it's a $6 billion industry. In San Francisco, it employs about 70,000 people. Statewide, it's hundreds of thousands of people. So absolutely, this is a key part of our economy that generates a lot of jobs, a lot of taxes. These are jobs where you don't need an advanced engineering degree. You can have middle-class jobs, even if you don't have a college degree. These are jobs that we want to promote. But this isn't just about the economy. This is about the importance of nightlife in our culture. It's at our cultural heart. When you look at, for example, in San Francisco and the Bay Area, the importance of live music, of our electronic dance music community, Ghost Ship didn't just happen. This is a community of people who late night entertainment, nightlife, culture, art is critically important, and it happens with or without us regulating it. We want the Ghost Ships of the world to come out into the, not the sunlight, maybe the moonlight, and to be part of a legal and prospering nightlife.
Senator, forgive me, are you saying that your proposal would have avoided a ghost ship?
No, what I'm saying is that if you if you ignore nightlife and pretend that everything stops at 2 a.m. and everyone just goes home, if you try to suppress nightlife, which a lot of times happens, it's going to happen anyway because people want to celebrate. They want to be with their community, and people are going to do that. And so we need to make sure we're working with our nightlife community to have legal and safe and celebratory environments where people can do what they want to do. And for Ghost Ship, I'm not saying this would have prevented Ghost Ship. There are a lot of issues around making sure that we allow these cultural and nightlife spaces to be safe and up to code, and we don't just ignore them, but we don't shut them down either. And when you look at what happens after 2 a.m., not everyone goes home. People continue to celebrate. We want them to do it in a legal and safe way, and this bill recognizes the reality of what's happening and brings it out into a legal status.
Well, Senator Wiener, I know you need to go, so I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener, who has proposed the Let Our Communities Adjust Late Night Act earlier this week. Let me tell you who's joining us for the rest of the half hour. I'm joined by Bruce Lee Livingston. He's executive director and CEO of the Alcohol Justice Organization. It's an alcohol industry watchdog group. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And thanks also to you, Gwyneth Borden. She's executive director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. Good morning, Gwyneth Borden.
Good morning.
And let me also invite our listeners to join the conversation with any questions after they've heard a description of it from our state senator, Scott Wiener. How do you feel about last call going from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.? Would you support giving cities the ability to move it that late if they wanted to? Maybe you're a business owner, a patron, or maybe a concerned citizen. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org, post them on Facebook, Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. Again, this is a half-hour segment, so if you have questions, the time is now to let us know. Gwyneth Borden of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association, how do you respond to the fact that your support could be seen as that really all you want to do is make a lot more money by allowing, restaurants and bars to stay open later and to serve alcohol much later?
It's not really just about that. I mean, one of the biggest complaints that people have about San Francisco, that unlike our peer cities like Chicago, who has actually 4 and 5 a.m. as well as 24-hour liquor licenses, in New York City is that we don't have a vibrant late-night dining scene. If you go to the symphony, if you go to the theater, and you want to eat somewhere afterwards, there aren't a lot of options. And the truth is that the economics of full-service dining, especially when it pertains to food, are very tight margins. And so having the ability to sell alcohol makes it a little more financially feasible. And the key thing for that is that benefits everyone, whether you choose to drink or not. The fact that you have more late-night dining options is great. The other aspect of that is that, if people are concerned about the later it gets in the evening, that people are not having things to eat, because there are less dining options in their consumption, this helps ameliorate that problem.
Bruce Lee Livingston, what are your issues with this particular proposal?
Well, our issues are huge. And I also want to say that I'm representing today California Alcohol Policy Alliance, a very broad statewide coalition that is working on alcohol prevention. And I am just shocked that Senator Wiener would come out and say nightlife matters, because life matters, and Black Lives Matter, of course. Life matters. There are 10,000 people a year who die from alcohol-related causes in California. There are 17,000 hospitalizations. It costs society $34 billion, and it costs government $13 billion to regulate and control and deal with the after effects of alcohol. So we're talking about if you extend bar hours or restaurant service hours till 4 a.m., we're talking about added cost from first responders working later into the morning and often into the commute hours. We're talking about police, sheriffs, California Highway Patrol cleaning up the ugliest mess that they ever deal with in their lives and in their work. We're talking about ambulance service, including firefighters, having to be out late dealing with DUIs and impaired driving collisions that take place on the highway later in the evening or earlier in the morning, depending how you look at it. We're talking about emergency room services having to be open a little longer dealing with alcohol-related problems. We have an active nightlife in California. It's been living perfectly well with bar service till 2 a.m. You still can wrap up the bar, lock up the booze, and stay open and serve juice, soda, have food, whatever. After 2 a.m., you don't need this kind of activity later in the night with street violence, street noise after 2 a.m. All the way till 4 or 4:30 at night.
A listener asks, Gwyneth Borden, how will communities pay for the needed additional law enforcement? We weren't able to get a reaction from a law enforcement official before this program, but the San Francisco Police Officers Association did register their concerns in 2013 about, you know, increased nuisance, crime, driving under the influence. How are cities supposed to pay for that?
Well, first off, the cities will have to make a plan for how they would do that. Again, this is not a blanket legislation that every jurisdiction would do that. Local jurisdiction would figure out how it best works for them. I think there's an assumption that alcohol is only a problem late at night. I mean, people have issues with alcohol, unfortunately, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it's interesting that we target the late night hours when that isn't necessarily the worst time. A lot of times it's after in the afternoons when kids are alone after school. Sometimes it's around the dinner hour. I mean, it's a not so specific to late night that you're having concerns. Do you need to staff up because you expect people to be out later? Yes. But as it is today, we have many nightclubs in San Francisco that operate to 4 and 6 a.m., and the assumption that people are not drinking, maybe they're not drinking in the nightclubs, but people are down drinking at home, house parties. People sometimes bring their own roadies places. So, I mean, I think that it's not going to really change that significantly what's already going on out there among those people who might be already abusing alcohol. Will there have to be additional police because more places are open later? Of course. But I think that's for local jurisdictions to decide how they're going to best deal with that and where they're going to best focus their resources. Obviously, there are already corridors where establishments are open later, and those are probably the most likely places where you would have later hours of operation. New places.
Well, we're getting a lot of calls coming in, so let's hear what our listeners have to say, and I'm going to start with Peter in San Francisco. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hi. I'm concerned that when people have multiple different closing times to go to, that there might be a great invitation for a lot more drunk driving and accidents. So, for example, our place now is closing at 2. Let's go to this place I know that's at 3, and then everybody heads, or the few folks head, to the place it's closing at 3 and then at 4, and they're going to be finding their way to places they haven't been to before, and so the whole thing seems an attraction to massively increase the driving drunk late at night.
Peter, thanks. Bruce Livingston, there are other cities that have done this. I don't know if it varies from city to city and if there's a lot of research around, you know, folks driving from one city to another based on when their last call times are, but I know that Chicago and New York have 4 a.m. or have much later last call times than San Francisco. Do you know if this is a problem?
Well, I can speak to Chicago. They have transportation that runs all night. We don't have that in San Francisco. In the Bay Area, you know, BART shuts down between 12:30 and 7 a.m. on most days, and it's terrible on the weekends. I do want to say that the police and sheriff's associations are very quickly going to be against this. We already have opposition from the California Police Chiefs Association. Of course, Senator Wiener sits on the Public Safety Committee. People might be a little shy about coming out strongly and quickly against this. But police are very concerned about this because it's more overtime, more hours. And as far as how cities pay for it, it's just ironic to have the Golden Gate Restaurant Association talking about this. They were the instrumental organization in defeating a alcohol mitigation fee in San Francisco about 4 years ago that was led by Supervisor John Avalos. That would have helped pay through a 3 to 5 cent drink surcharge on alcohol. That would have helped pay for some of the mitigation that's necessary. We don't have the transportation. We don't have the finances for first responders. I would rather Senator Wiener work on an alcohol excise fee, alcohol excise tax increase in California. It would generate billions of dollars. We do not have local control over taxation of alcohol to pay for the harm that already exists. We don't need harm extended later in the night and more harm and more cost on restaurants and
bars. Can I just say a couple things?
Gwyneth Borden, yes.
There's no correlation, actually, between hours of operation and increased instances of drunk driving and those other sorts of behaviors. And the thing is that the reason he brought up Chicago is because he says, oh, well, they have later transportation. But there aren't statistics that support the fact that they have multiple closing times, that things are worse. And, in fact, here we have rideshare services. We've got Uber. We've got Lyft. We've got Mooney that runs all night. We also have – we're looking in the next era of autonomous vehicles. Lots of people walk to the places that they go to in San Francisco. So we actually have a lot of options here locally. In fact, the trend is that millennials are not driving. We are seeing that trend growing more and more. And if now we're moving into the world of autonomous vehicles, this conversation about drunk driving is going to become obsolete.
Well,
maybe there are communities that have that issue, but here in San Francisco, there are plenty of transportation options, and you can see that by the more than 20,000 rideshare cars that are on our streets today.
Well, Gwyneth, Irina, our listener, does ask, what's the point if BART stops running at midnight? And Diane writes, this is ridiculous. No one needs to be drinking until 4 a.m. Many people in my neighborhood leave for work between 5 and 7 a.m. We don't need to overlap with drunk people. Let's hear from more of our listeners. Jason in Belmont. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going? So you guys kind of brought up a lot of the points on both sides of what I agree with and disagree with. I don't think first responders, you know, stop working at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure our public service offers, 24-hour service. And, you know, the point about the public transportation, I agree with. You know, we need to increase that in the city. But this act is encompassing of the entire state, not just of San Francisco, and you know, having more public transportation in those more urban cities like in Los Angeles and San Francisco that could operate on a 24-hour basis, I think would be helpful if this act were to pass. But saying that, you know, the increased drunk driving and the increase of fatalities and emergency room visits, I think is a weak argument against this act. You know, this isn't just in large cities. It's going to be throughout the state. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Jason, thanks for making those points. And let me hear from Mohammed in San Francisco. I believe he has a similar point. Mohammed?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm driving late at night in San Francisco every week. And I think leave open the restaurants and bars is a good idea, and it happened to me over and over that I couldn't find a restaurant to eat after 2 a.m. And also, I had a passenger, and she needed water, and we were just driving around to get water for her, and there was no any store open, and I don't know why they are trying to you know insist that they. Bars and restaurants are going to be should be closed at 2 a.m. Is there any research, any rationale behind this idea? What's the experience of other cities like New York and other cities? The experience. So is there any statistics to explain to people that this is a good idea to leave open restaurants and bars or close? Thank you.
Thanks, Mohammed. Do you want to respond to that, Bruce Livingston?
Yeah, there is some research on late night hours in Australia, for instance. They've had before and after evidence, and there's not necessarily an increase in violence or death, but there is a extension of the violence, street violence, and DUI into later. Hours.
And sorry, so before and after what exactly you were saying?
So you can see what you'll see is that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, there will be incidences of drunk driving. Now, just imagine somebody leaving a bar and crossing the Bay Bridge and an accident on the Bay Bridge or in the Caldecott Tunnel, the millions of dollars in lost work hours and traffic jam from one incident. And there is a marginal increase in revenues for the restaurants and bars. As I said, the restaurants and bars can stay open without serving alcohol. We don't have a problem with that. That's great. I think there should be that option. But the option of serving alcohol later, it's just fine as it is. We want people not to be, stoking it up at 3:30 in the morning. If bars are stupid enough to start to serve people a lot of drinks, lining them up at 1:30 in the morning, it's bad enough. But to do it at 3:30 in the morning, that's just not going to be adequate
are,
for neighborhoods.
But there are, Bruce Livingston, small business owners who do say that, you know, it is not marginal in terms of their revenues with regard to alcohol and that they do help often keep them open. Gwyneth Borden, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I do want to respond to that because what's really significant in San Francisco is that eating and drinking establishments represent more than 50% of the retail sales tax in San Francisco. So it's a huge economic driver. We are looking currently at a potential economic downturn. And so the sales tax revenue that would generate for the city is significant, not to mention the jobs and the fact that there are a lot of places that are open dinner only. And if they had later hours, people could actually not have two jobs, could have one job because they get more hours in, which would be great for workers as well. So, I mean, I think it's not true to say, you know, what was said before. I mean, I think the bottom line is that this is actually a really critical way to kind of get people, to get our economy some more economic vitality going. And I think what's interesting with all this is that there's assumption that it's about getting drunk. And it's not about getting a drunk. It's often about having a glass of wine with your dinner. I mean, and bartenders are trained professionals to recognize when people shouldn't be served. I mean, they get through the ABC process. There's an entire process in which people can lose their license if they're lining up drinks with the purpose of getting people drunk. And the opportunity to have food later helps ensure that people aren't going to be getting drunk. But I think there's this assumption that every time people drink, the purpose is to get drunk, and that if you have later hours, it means that people are going to just drink more drinks. And it doesn't mean that. It might mean that they don't go out till midnight or 1 a.m., or maybe they don't get off work until midnight or 1 a.m., and so now they can go somewhere and have a beverage. I think that there's something different between going out and partying and getting drunk, and then there's between that and like going out to have a glass of wine at a later hour.
We just have a minute left. Bruce Livingston, last thought.
Sure. I mean, and it's about the neighborhoods, too. Anybody who's near a bar or restaurant that's serving till 2 in the morning knows that there can be noise and activity on the streets at that time. So I perfectly support restaurants having late night service. I've worked in a restaurant in San Francisco as a server for years, and we closed up the bar at 11:30 at 12 o'clock at night, and the restaurant survived and still survives today.
Well, Bruce Lee Livingston, Executive Director and CEO of Alcohol Justice, thanks for joining us. And thanks also to you, Gwyneth Borden, Executive Director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. Up next, we'll be talking about beach erosion in the next half hour. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Do stay with us.